Next actually will be coming, we have from second, from Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And there's an interesting verse of the scripture there, which we have on the screen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Yeah, we're in economical with this space, so yeah, that's... It says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Before this, Paul was asking the question, who are you when nobody is with you? When nobody is watching? When nobody is around? Especially members of your family, members of the church. Who are you at that point? Because he started writing to the Philippian Christians, telling them, I want you to continue in obedience, regardless of whether I am there or not. I want you to continue obeying the word of God in my absence, as you have done in my presence. And he started to share this mystery, encouraging them. He said, because God, when we obey God, he is at work in our lives. He is orchestrating the things that happen in our lives, guiding our will, so that he will work out his good pleasure in our lives. So if you're a child of God today, don't think your life is just like a piece of lumber out in the sea that gets tossed wherever. No, God is directing things in your life. God is guiding every move that you make. And that is why David said that the Lord knoweth the path that I take. He knoweth my ways. He knoweth the things I do in life. He knoweth how my life goes. Oftentimes you think, oh yeah, this is me doing it. No, God is at the background pulling the strings. And I just love that God will be pulling strings in my life. If it is God that is pulling strings in my life, then I'm good. But if it is man, if it is my dad, my mom, my brothers, friends, pulling strings in my life, then I am heading for trouble. Today we are going to look at, I was thinking we'll be able to look at two different characters in the Bible, but I doubt if we'll get to the second one. So we'll just stick to the first one. And we shall be looking at a story in John chapter 5. We have, that's good. This is a test. Just close one eye and see if you can. If you can see what is there. But Scott is here to help us out and read from the scripture as well. So go ahead, Scott.
Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he'd been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath.
Amen. Amen. This is the story of the paraplegic at the pool of Bethesda. The Bible says just before this time, Jesus has just finished dealing with a nobleman who came to Jesus Christ in Galilee and said, "My son is sick at the point of death. Please come to my house and heal him." And Jesus said, "Look, unless you see a miracle, you will not believe." He said, "Look, Master, I have come all the way here to see you. just come to my house and heal my son. And Jesus just told him, okay, go. Your son will live. And the Bible says he believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and left. Remember, his initial plan was to bring Jesus to his house. But when Jesus says, go, your son will live, he believed. The Bible says he believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went home. Something I loved about this was that, you see, oftentimes we not only tell God what we want to tell God how to do for us what we want. Well, he came with that plan anyway, because he wanted God, I want the healing, yes, but this is how you're going to do it. You're going to come to my house and do the healing. But when God did otherwise, he was flexible enough. He was spiritually sensitive enough to accept the will of God. To accept, yes, Lord, if this is the way you want to do it, I'm all for it. Even though Jesus did not eventually come to his house, Jesus only said, go, your son will live. He believed it and he went. He said, let us be sensitive enough to know when God is doing things in our lives and to follow. Rather than sticking, no, it has to be this way. God, this is the way you do it. And so Jesus moved on from there and came to the pool of Bethesda. The Bible says in that pool, there were lots of sick people. The blind were there, the lame were there, the deaf, all kinds of sick people. They were in that place waiting for the moving of the water. Because the Bible says at certain times an angel came and moved the water. So they were all waiting for the moving of the water. Somebody say moving of the water. Oh, thank you. Wow. Okay. Debbie, maybe you should have made more coffee for us this morning just to keep us awake. They were all waiting. They had different kinds of ailment. They have different problems. But the only common thing amongst these people was that they were waiting for the moving of the water. They were expecting it, watching out for it. They were hoping. You see, hope is a very powerful thing. Some of them have been in that place for years, but they were still hoping. Hope is so strong. Hope is so powerful. You see, hope is a twin sister of faith. And that is why the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 defined faith using hope. He said, now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible talks about hope as well. He said, now abided faith, hope, and charity. So the Bible seems to be talking about these two things, as if they are twin sisters. So hope is a powerful thing. And that is why we are here today. The Bible says when Abraham left, he had a hope of a better place. Like we have a hope of a better place one day. Our hope is not just here. Paul says, if only in this world we have hope, we have men most miserable. We have hope of a better place. Amen. Amen. So Jesus came to this man. They were all waiting for this angel to come and stir the water so that they might jump in and be healed. I don't know what you're waiting for today. Maybe you're waiting for an angel to turn your water so you can get the dream or get the goal of your life. Or maybe you're waiting for someone else to come and act and do certain things before your situation will change. Well, I have good news for you today. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here. A greater than the angel is here. You do not need to wait for an angel. Jesus is here. He says in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus, the Son of God, is here today to change your situation, to change whatever it is. It really doesn't matter. Remember at the pool, there were people with different kinds of situations, different challenges in life. But they were waiting for that moment when the angel will turn the water. The problem here is that when the angel turns the water, it's only one person that gets healed. Just the very first person that will jump into the pool gets healed. Guess what? The other people will have to wait till next time. And somehow the Bible didn't tell us how long it takes. When it just said at certain times the angel comes to stir the water. It didn't tell us whether it is every month or maybe every year. Because this man we're talking about has been in this issue for 38 years. Maybe it happens every once a year. I don't know. But once that first person gets in, well, the rest of them can go back home. Or they can just continue to sit there. So Jesus came there knowing that there are problems in that place. And he came to this man. He said, do you want to be made well? Wow. What kind of question is that? This is somebody that has been in this situation for 38 years. He's literally living in the pool just because he wants solution. He had a dream, like every other person sitting in that place. They all had a dream of being well, a dream of being whole, a dream of being able to live their lives again. They had a dream. And Jesus says, do you want to be made well? In other words, do you want to realize your dream in life? I'm sure we all have different dreams here. We have desires of where we want our children to be, what we want our children to be. That might be your dream. That might be your goal, your vision. A dream of how you think your marriage should look like or should be. A dream of where you want to be in life. A dream of what you want to do in the house of God. I'm sure we all have dreams. And Jesus is saying this morning, do you want to live out your dream? Do you want your dream in life to come to fulfillment? That is what he was asking this man. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? The translation that Scott read for us, the man just said, I can't. In other words, I cannot. He is saying that, Master, that dream was lost many, many years ago. I have given up on that dream. That dream will never come to pass in my life. I can't. It's gone. There was a time I had that dream. I was full of hope. I was full of ambition. I want to get there. Somehow I knew it was going to happen. But now that dream was gone. That dream has been lost. I don't know, maybe you have a dream like that. Some years back, maybe when you were in school, you had this wonderful idea. Maybe when you were thinking of marriage, you had this wonderful idea. But now, that dream seemed to have fizzled out. The man said, look, Master, every time the water is troubled and I get up, I try to get into the pool, someone steps in front of me. Someone cuts me off. Every time I make effort to walk on the dream, to walk on the vision which I have for myself in life, every time I make effort to do something about it, something cuts in front of me. Wow, what a pathetic story. It's not like he was not making any effort. He was trying. But every time he gets up, someone cuts in front of him. And today there are many things that is cutting in front of us. There are many things that is stepping in front of us and preventing us from getting to the point where we want to get to in life. There's so many things that is standing in front of us and stepping in front of us and disrupting us from getting to the place God wants us to get to in life. I don't know what those things are. For some of us, it might be fear. You're afraid to take that step of faith. You're afraid of the unknown. And that is why you want to continue to hug the shoreline. You want to stay in your comfort zone. At least, like they say, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. I want to correct that. None of them, they are all bad. Whether the devil you know and the one you don't know, they are all the same. They are bad. They are demonic. They are from the devil. Yeah. So we want to stay in our comfort zone. We are afraid to step out, to take that step. Earlier on, we had said, David said, "The Lord knoweth the path that I take. He orders my step." And if you are confident that God knows the path that you take, if you're sure that it is God who is ordering your step, then you can overcome that fear. The Bible says fear has torments. Fear has torments. It is not the will of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of sound mind. That is what God has given to us. So maybe fear is stepping in your front every now and then, stopping you from achieving your goal in life or your dream. Or maybe it's pride or ego. Oh yeah, it's me. Yeah, I can do this. And you see, one of the things that pride does, it blinds you from seeing the reality. It blinds you from seeing what God is doing. And that's why the Bible says God resists the pride or the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride might be stepping in front of you, your ego, stopping you from reaching that which God has intended for you in life. Or maybe it is lack of self-confidence. For some of us, it is lack of self-confidence. You're not sure of yourself. You're not sure I can do it. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Lack of self-confidence. You need to wake up. You need to transform your mind, like Romans chapter 12 says. Transforming your mind. Be who God wants you to be. Be confident in yourself, because it is not you that is at work. It is God that is at work in us. Yes. Or maybe because we are depending on our own power all the time. We want to make sure we have all our ducks in row. See, it's not always easy to get all the ducks in row before you start going. I'm not talking about planning. Yes, we just have to plan and get. But it's not always possible to get all the ducks in a row before you take off. There has to be that element of faith when we are dealing with God. What is stepping in front of you? It is possible. It could be your friends. Ooh, friends. Okay. Let's slow down a little bit here and talk about friends. Who are your friends? Okay, that's great. Awesome. You see, your friends can begin to step in front of you. By the way, not everyone is a friend. We need to begin to evaluate our friends. There has to be category. There are people who are just acquaintances. Those are no friends. People you come across once in a while. There are people I meet on the train. I've been taking the West Coast to work for just over a year now. So there are certain people that just we have come to know ourselves. I can't call them friends. I hardly know them. They hardly know me. They're not my friends. Yes, I've known them for close to a year now because we joined the same train and all that. But I can't just say they are friends. It's like Daniel, my son. We went to Nigeria. He's never been, well, he was born there, but he was small when we came over here. So 2 years ago, we went back home, and Daniel is somebody, once he gets in this place, yeah, everybody knows that Daniel is there. Yeah. And so, before you know, all the kids around there, yeah, he came out with his soccer ball, and everybody, yeah, there are a bunch of kids there, and he comes out, and, oh, who are these? Oh, they're my friends. No, they're not your friends. Yeah, how can you say, yeah, these are not my friends? For some of us, it's like that. There are acquaintances. And these acquaintances, they really do not add so much into your life. There are distant friends, people who add little value to your life. You must be able to separate them. And of course, there are close friends, people who can be prayer partners with you, people you can confide in, people you can tell certain things about that is going on in your life, and they will pray with you. Those are friends. People that can give you godly advice. People that can help you understand the will of God for your life. Not everybody can do that. The close friends are people who can speak into your life. Hear me this morning, my brothers and sisters. Not everyone is authorized. Not everyone should be allowed to speak into your life. Did you hear me? Yes. No, you did not. Not everyone should be allowed to speak into your life. If you allow certain people to speak into your life, they will disrupt your life. You need to know who your friends are. There are people, when they come into your life, they pull you back. They take away from your life. They are not adding to your life. There are people, the moment you begin to associate with them, things begin to go wrong in your life. People who, when they come to you, all they are trying to introduce to you is the new computer game that is in town. Oh, have you seen the new Nike that I bought? $700 sneakers. Oh, wow, okay. That's all they want to talk about. They are not helping you. to focus on your goal in life. I'll tell you a story about the prodigal son. I'm sure we know the prodigal son. If you remember very well, the Bible says he went to a far country and spent all that he had. And then he joined himself with a citizen of that country. In other words, he made friends with a citizen of that country who sent him to feed swine, pigs. You will also remember that by the Jewish culture, pigs are considered an unclean animal. All this so-called friend could do for him was to send him to go and feed pigs. I don't know if you're making the connection. And he began to eat with them. This was supposed to be a friend. That friend did not help him to get back on his feet. Did not help him to serve God better. Did not help him to look for ways of turning his life around, seeing that he is down. Instead, all that friend influenced him and directed him to do was to go deeper in his troubles. He now began to associate with pigs. There are certain people you call friends. All they will do in your life is to force you and push you down further to associate with pigs. Those are no friends. Amen. You need to evaluate your friends. Somebody once said that if you run with wolves, you will learn to howl. But if you associate with eagles, you will learn to soar to great heights. Amen. Who are your friends? We need to evaluate our friends. Because our friends can step into our front and stop us from achieving the goal which we have in life. Those dreams that we had at one time, our friends could disrupt them. Our friends could make it difficult for us to get there. And Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" It's for you this morning to identify those things that are stepping in front of you. Those things that are pulling you back in life. You know, Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, "Seeing that we are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every what? Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Every weight. It's not sin. There are two, get it right. Every weight and the sin which doth so easily. So there are weights that may not be seen, but they just distract you. They just knock you off your game. Those are weights. What are those things? You need to ask yourself. I need to ask myself. What are those things that is stopping me from getting to my dream? He said, "Lord, the dream of being healed, the dream of being well, I have lost it long ago." For some of us, it might be your past, the failures of the past. Every time you remember, "I tried before and I failed." The failures you have gone through in life begin to haunt you. Discouragements that you've gone through in the past. That could be what is taking you back. For some of us, it is your family history that is holding you back. "Oh no, I can't achieve this dream. My mother tried. She couldn't make it. My dad tried. Actually, my uncle had this sickness. My dad had it. My grandfather had it. My sister suffered from this same thing." I want to tell you that as a child of God, your past does not determine your future. Amen. That it didn't happen for your family in the past does not mean it will not happen for you in the future. Because when God becomes involved in your life, things change. Things change because God is now involved in your life. And that is why Paul says, look, be obedient to the word of God, because when we are obedient to the word of God, his power is at work in us, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Yes. Your family history and your family background, yes, they are there. But I want to tell you this morning, do not let those things hold you back. Do not let those things pull you back. You can break the shackle. You can break the yoke. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. It might have been a yoke from your history, from your past. But the Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. Is somebody listening to me this morning? Yeah. What I'm saying may not be for everyone, but I want to believe there's somebody here that needs to hear that that lost dream can be recovered. It can be restored. I don't know how far you have considered the dream lost. I don't know how big that dream was. But that dream can be restored. Amen. The dream you have for your life, the dream you have for your children, the dream you have for your family, the dream you have for your marriage, amen, it can be restored. Because the Jesus that is here today is a restorer of dreams. Jesus told him, yes, I know you have no man to put you in the water, but I have come because of you. Jesus did not go there because he wanted to swim. I don't think so. But he got there, he went there because he wanted to meet with this man that has been in this situation for 38 years. A man that has lost his dream in life. Jesus showed up because of this man to change things in his life. So even if you have been in this situation for 38 years or even more, I want to tell you this morning that the Jesus that went to the pool of Bethesda is here this morning to restore your dream, to bring back the good old days, as they call it, to put you back on track to achieve that which God has laid in your heart. The lost dream can be recovered today. We're going to pray. I don't know what the dream is. I don't know what your vision for yourself in life is. But I want to say this morning, I stand before God here and I want to assure you that the God we serve, it's a miracle-working God. He can restore even that which we think is gone. Jesus told him, rise, take your bed and walk. And that is my message for you this morning. Rise. It's time to get up. Yes. It's time to wake up. Take your bed and walk. First, you need to rise. First, you need, he said, the prodigal son said, I will arise. We need to rise up. We need to say, this is enough. end the pity party. Get up. And until we wake up, until we get angry at the situation, nothing will happen. Nothing will change. Let's not continue to wait for other people to act before our situation will change. No, let us get up. Let us act. Take the initiative. Do something. God is there to help us. You've been thinking of, oh, I want to join the ministry. I want to do this in the house of God. What is holding you back? Arise. There is still work in the house of God to do. The community is still looking for people to come out to them and listen to their cry. Arise. Take up your bed and walk. That lost dream can be restored today. If we are willing, if we are obedient, we shall eat the fruit of the land. That is the word of God. May God bless his word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we have come before you this morning. Your word is settled in heaven forever. We present before you our dreams that have been long lost. Praying that you will restore our dreams again this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praying that you will stir us up. That those things that are lying dormant in our lives, those dreams that are lying dormant in our lives, will be revived again. Open our eyes to see what you're doing in our lives and what you want to do and where you are leading us to. Father, I pray for your blessing upon your church. I pray for your blessing upon your people, O God. May your glory come upon your church. Revive us. Strengthen us. Help us to wake up. Help us to stand up and move forward in the strength and power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Papa. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.